Tsai.
Spend the day with Tsai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Tsai Thursday Night.
Radio Tsai Thursday Night.
Dear listeners, loving sidearms and greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. A warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Life. Today is 26th of May, 2016, and the time right now in our studios is 11:30 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Well, the weather at Prashanthi Nilayam is quite pleasant. It's also warm. And this is the segment Seva and Sadhana. As it is always said, seva without sadhana results in bondage, and sadhana without seva is a burden. I am Raghu from Team Radio Tsai, and joining me is Brother Ganesh. Sairam Ganesh, and greetings.
Sairam Raghu, Sairam the listeners.
Seva means service to society, sadhana means spiritual discipline. Well, before moving forward, I would like to just share with all of you a small analogy that Swami had told about sadhana. Swami says, if we are going in a bus in a dusty road, in a village road, there will be a smoke of dust behind the bus when the bus is moving. So when the bus is moving, there's no problem. But when the bus stops, the smoke of dust enters inside the bus. So Swami says, sadhana, that is involving in spiritual activities, spiritual discipline, is like a moving bus. It should constantly move. Constantly we should be involved in seva and sadhana. And the dust behind the bus is maya. If we stop at a point, the maya will take over. So with this intention, we have started this segment, seva and sadhana. And from the couple of weeks, we have taken the topic that is the eight flowers which we should offer to God. And the eight flowers are ahimsa, non-violence, indriya nigraham, control of senses, daya, compassion to all living beings, kshama, forbearance, shanti, peace, tapas, penance, dhyana, meditation, and the eighth flower is truth, that is satya. Until now we have discussed the first two flowers, that is ahimsa and indriya nigraham, and last Thursday we started our discussion on compassion, that is the third flower, dhaya, and last week we couldn't finish the topic, and today we are continuing on the same topic, compassion. So last week, Ganesh, we had discussed on what is compassion and why we should be compassionate, right?
So, Raghu, throughout this week, as I was thinking on the discussion we had last time on this beautiful topic of compassion, so I was just thinking, thought just passed my mind. See, whenever we go into the outside world, we see so many incidents of suffering and pain and so many people having troubles and all that. And on the other side, we see that Swami has taken an avatar, he has come down to redeem mankind of its troubles. Then why mankind has to face all these troubles? Mm-hmm. That's the dilemma that I had. And when I was going through some literature through Satya Sai Speaks and Satyam Shivam Sundaram, I found a very beautiful answer for this question that that had propped up in my mind. So once, what happened was, Swami had gone to Mumbai, and Swami Karunyananda also happened to accompany Swami during that visit. And Swami had gone to Dharmakshetra. So he stayed in his apartment on the upper floor, Swami, while Karunyananda was given a room which was on the ground floor right beneath Swami's room. So some prominent people of Mumbai were coming to meet Bhagwan. So what happened was the staircase that was used was adjoining the ground floor room. And to avoid being disturbed, Karunyananda garu bolted his door from the inside. And he happened to look out of his window and he saw a very, very disturbing scene. Just outside the compound wall, some children were vying with stray dogs to grab crumbs of food from discarded leaf plates.
Oh my God.
So that scene filled him with surprise as well as distress. And the same thought which I was having, Karunyananda ji was also having that. And this is the age when God himself has incarnated on the earth and is moving in flesh and blood among all of us human beings. And what is more, on that very day he was present right in that very building. So he thought, is it not ironical that human beings were to fight with street dogs for snatching a few discarded crumbs of food? And his mind was so disturbed, and as his thoughts passed through his mind, what happened was there was a gentle touch on his shoulder. He turned round and found that Satya Sai, our dear Swami, was smiling and looking into his eyes directly. Karunyananda was flustered and he said, "Swami, I bolted my door from inside. How could you enter the room?" And then Swami countered with his reply, "If I want to come in, can bolt stand in my way? I have to come and take, I have to come to take you for meals," Swami told.
Okay.
And then Karunyananda told Swami about what was agitating his mind. "Swami, I am troubled by a small doubt. You are God incarnate and right now present here in flesh and blood. Okay. And then just look there. Behind the wall, children are fighting with street dogs for picking up mean crumbs of food from the garbage. How come, Swami? How come?" And Swami is in all his love and compassion. He explained very, very patiently. "See, they had spent their earlier lives in ease and luxury. And this was Swami telling, pointing out to those children who were there on the road. They disdainfully ate from tables heavily laden with every kind of rich food, pecking a little from this and a little from that plate. They threw away much more than they ever ate, so contemptuously discarding precious food. So they happened to waste food in their previous life. So what happened is, in this birth, they are picking up what they had earlier so recklessly wasted and consigned to the garbage heap." So this was the answer that was given to Swami Karunyananda by our dear Bhagwan. So whatever happens around us is actually a result of our karma.
Yeah.
So if we try to protect and safeguard what is given to us, I am sure that this will not happen to any one of us. As Swami tells it, it's all a reflection, reaction and resound. What we are supposed to face, we will have to face it. What, Raghu?
Correct. In fact, there is one very good explanation for the question that when God is the most compassionate, why there is suffering in this world, right?
Correct.
So the concept of karma, as Newton's third law says, every action has got an equal and opposite reaction.
Yes.
We do good, we'll get back good. We do bad, we'll get bad. So I have got one more explanation for this, like when God is so compassionate, why there is suffering. In fact, Swami himself says that his love and compassion is not just one mother's love, it's thousand mothers' love.
Correct.
Swami says in his own words, "Vei talli prema," right?
Vei tallula prema, yes.
Thousand mothers' love. Okay, let's take one mother's love in the beginning.
Okay.
When a child is born, the mother always blesses the child with all positivity. She says, "You have a long life, you always succeed in life, you won't see failure." Such all positive blessings a mother gives to her child. Now, God, Swami, is, as he himself said, thousand mother, and we are all his children. So there is no way that man can suffer in this world if we look like this. Because just like how one mother blesses her child, Swami also has blessed us and has given us all positivity to succeed in this life. But still we see suffering and bad things happening to us. But if you see, there can't be anything bad in this God's creation. And so we should always it is always true that whatever happens is good for us.
Yes.
In fact, it will eventually turn to be good.
Mm.
If you take the example what you said about the Karunyananda incident, where he saw two boys eating from a garbage, we don't know. It also may be good for them, because at their childhood itself, they are seeing sufferings, and who knows, when they grow up, they may become good people. And there are many real life examples of in which the people in their childhood have suffered a lot, but they have come up in life later. So here I would like to just to support this point,
yes.
I would like to share an analogy which Swami has given.
Sure.
It seems once a man was taking a nap, afternoon nap, under a tree, huge banyan tree.
Okay.
So just before taking the nap, he looked up in the tree and he saw small fruits the banyan tree had, very small fruits. And on the other hand, in the ground, he saw creepers, and the creepers had papaya fruits.
Okay.
So he was just thinking, oh my God, what is this God's creation? There's such a huge banyan tree, but it has got only small fruits. Whereas in the ground, there's this tender creeper, and the creeper is growing such a huge papaya.
Okay.
So he didn't understand God's creation. He thought, oh, something is wrong. Why not have a huge fruit for a huge tree and a tender...
It seemed like a mismatch for him.
Yeah. And thinking in this way, he just went to sleep.
Okay.
And after about 10 to 15 minutes, he just got up because a banyan fruit fell on his head.
Okay.
Then it realized that, oh my God, if the banyan fruit was big, and if there was a papaya instead of that fruit, it would have been my last day in this world, right? He would have passed away or something. So you see, God's creation is always perfect.
Yes.
And we should accept the God's creation, and we should always think that whatever happens is good for us at that point of the time. Because we, being human, can't see the future, but God knows everything in the future. In fact, as it is said, raw gold is gold, but it doesn't have much value. The goldsmith has to beat it, put it in fire and
make it into an ornament and then give
only
it.
Then make it into a beautiful ring or chain, only then it has got huge value. So for this it has to undergo the fire and the heating from the goldsmith. So people suffer, bad things happen to them, it's always good for them. That is one more explanation for the question that when God is so compassionate, why there is suffering. So after that, now God incarnates. We are talking on the topic of compassion. And God is the most compassionate, as we have said. Now, if you see the avatar, incarnation of God, if you see Rama avatar, incarnation of God as Rama, incarnation of God as Krishna, don't you think it is God incarnates, God, the incarnation of God itself is an act of compassion to the humanity?
Of course, there is no doubt about it, Raghu. Because Swami has so many times mentioned, it reminds me of a poem which Swami had written in his letter to his brother. Sesham Raju Garu. In the letter, he mentions the purpose of his avatar. Okay.
Yeah.
What he tells is, Akhila manavallaku ananda managurchu rakshincha chundute dikshanaku. Means, to foster all mankind and ensure for all people's lives full of ananda.
Okay.
Sanmargamanu vidi cherinchu varala patti kapadute vratamunaku. See, to lead all who stray away from the straight path, which is the path of dharma, again into goodness and save them. Bida sadalakaina penubadha tolaginchi lemini bapute premanaku. To remove the suffering of the poor and grant them what they lack. See, that is the purpose of the avatar. So he has actually decided to come down and redeem mankind of all its problems and sufferings. So that is the purpose of avatar. And Swami also in another poem, he tells, avatarinchuta enatalo artham emi, what is the reason of coming down, the descent? Janulapai preeti vatsalya paratatoda.
Okay.
On, because of his love and compassion towards the entire humanity, vari sthayi ki daivambu digivachu. Means to their level, God comes down. Okay. And then, jiva prajnato patuga daiva prajna. This particular last sentence always gave me beautiful thoughts. It is said, jiva prajnato patuga daiva prajna. Means God comes down in human form because he has to be a human to understand the problems of a human.
Correct.
And even humans should relate to him as a human being so as to go closer to him. Swami tells, no, very beautifully, devotees go and pray to in front of a Naga temple, a god of snake. Then as soon as they see a snake in front of them, they take a stick and start hitting the snake.
Driving it away.
Yeah, so Swami is scared that if I come in full form, nobody is going to accept me.
Correct.
So that is why in an acceptable form, God comes down. The underlying principle is in all his compassion.
In fact, if you see the avatar, God has got infinite power, divine power. But he has to limit all his powers and has to take the form of a man. And even in Dwapara Yuga, Krishna says, Arjuna,
yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavate bharata. Means whenever dharma is on the recline, he comes down and keeps it in check.
Correct. For the protection of the virtuous, for the destruction of the evildoers, and for establishing righteousness on long footing. Okay, so now, after knowing the purpose of the avatar, let's talk about Swami's avatar itself. In fact, Swami has told, my life is my message.
Of course.
So why not share few stories, few incidents from Swami's childhood, which shows his compassion to humanity.
As Swami tells, his life is his message. And what best example can we have other than Swami to discuss this particular topic of compassion? And as we see, Raghu, even from Swami's childhood, he had been a role model for emulation.
Correct.
See, even when there was not enough food to eat in the home, there was only one plate of meal in his hand. And even as a beggar came at his doorstep to ask for alms, immediately without a second thought, he had just taken out his share and given it to the beggar. And Mother Ishwarama is like so startled. See, you are giving away your food to that beggar. So what will you eat? Then the beautiful reply that Swami tells us, see, I have come to serve all. So there again and again, at every instant, Swami had highlighted the purpose of his avatarhood, that he has come to serve mankind. And then very, very beautifully, Swami stops the troubles of all the bullock carts when all the villagers were having bullock cart races. No?
Correct.
So as
the village festival, they used to have bullock cart race and cockfights.
Cockfights. And Swami had the jiva karunyam, what Swami tells, no? Sarvabhuta daya.
Yeah, compassion towards
all beings. All beings.
Yeah, in this case, animals.
In this case, animals. So Swami stopped that particular bad habit of bull races and bullock cart races and cock fights. And as we all know, the Pandari Bhajan.
Yeah.
In all his mercy and compassion, Swami wanted all the people to get rid of that cholera disease. So for that, the best way to stop any disease is to chant the name of the Lord. So he started the Pandari Bhajan group and he spread the lesson of Namasmarana.
Correct.
He made all the children chant God's name, and then through that way he eradicated the, he stopped, he prevented the disease of cholera to affect the Puttaparthi village.
In fact, even the neighboring villagers also started calling the Pandari bhajans to their village, right?
Yes. Yeah,
and Swami used to go there and also sing the bhajans.
Mm.
And on one occasion, in fact, we have told this incident in an earlier episode also.
Mm.
A few of Swami's friends had caught frogs in a basket and they were enjoying with that.
Mm.
And Swami told, no, you should not hurt these frogs, release them. And his friends were not ready.
Mm.
And Swami immediately transforms these frogs into pigeons.
Pigeons,
right?
Yeah. And
that
they fly.
Yeah, that also shows Swami's compassion towards animals.
Mm. Actually, Raghu, when we are discussing about this, a beautiful incident again comes to my mind. When Swami, when he was studying in a school, a particular teacher asks Satya to slap all the boys when they did not obey the teacher's command or used to come late to the school. So what Swami did was, he obviously has to agree to what the teacher has asked him to do. So Swami goes to each of the boy and he holds the nose and slightly taps on the cheek of all the boys. Then the teacher becomes furious and he scolds Satya and he actually hits Satya.
Mm.
See, that is the love and compassion of...
For the sake of his friends, Swami got slapped by the teacher.
So at that tender age, when such positive things and positive feelings are developed, I am sure when every child grows up, the feeling of compassion and that love will automatically start blossoming and developing, Raghu.
Correct. In fact, during his school days, Swami showed his compassion to his friends even during exam also.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember, there was an incident when Swami wrote answer papers for two of his classmates.
Mm.
And if we can go on discussing Swami's life incidents of where he showed compassion. As he always said, my life itself is my message. Let's just fast forward to the Kodai Canal trip where he used to take boys to the hill resort in Kodai Canal during summer. And here I would like to narrate a couple of instances which showed Swami's immense compassion. It seems once Swami had gone on a drive in a car and he came back and he told boys, see boys, there in the city there's one small boy selling straw hats. So you all go to him and buy the straw hats.
That was near the boat club.
Boat club. And Swami strictly said, don't bargain with the boy. Whatever the boy tells the price, pay him. And immediately one boy told Swami, it seems, Swami, what is the use of straw hats here in Kodai Canal? It will be useful only in summer. Then Swami said, see, straw hats may not be useful for you, but that boy who is selling it needs money. It's useful for him. So Swami ordered all of you go and buy. So these boys went to the boy, straw hat boy. And when they asked for the price, the straw hat boy, he told, sir, actually I sell it for 20-25 rupees, but since it's off season, you can take it for 15 rupees. And then boy said, no, you give it for 25 rupees. And boys came with the hat, and it seems Swami was on the car, and Swami brought down the window of the car, and at that moment, it seems it started drizzling. And all boys put their hat, and Swami said, see, straw hats will come.
It'll be useful.
Useful during rain. So this is one act of compassion which Swami showed to the boy. And there is one more which Ruchir sir, Vrindavan faculty, narrated. It seems once during one of the Kodai trips, Swami had told him to buy 100 shawls. So Ruchir sir, he is lecturer for commerce department in Vrindavan. And he is fully business minded. He takes care of the stores in Vrindavan, etc. So out of his business tactics, he found out that the Tibetan shops, which is there in Kodai Canal, were selling shawls, and he found out the price, and it seems he found out that the prices were a little bit higher.
Mm.
So he inquired the people there, and he discovered that there is a factory nearby from where these Tibetan people buy the shawls in a bulk and sell it here.
Mm.
And the factory was giving the shawls for a comparatively lesser price.
Okay.
So he decided to buy the shawls from the factory.
Mm.
So next day when Swami came, Swami asked, "Sir, from where you are going to buy the shawls?"
Mm.
And sir very proudly said, "Swami, I have found out like this here, they are selling it for high price, so I am going to buy it from the factory." And Swami sternly said, "No, you should buy it from the Tibetan shops, because they need money, and the only business, proper business that they will be having is only when Swami comes to Kodaikanal."
Yes, this happened the three times when we were blessed to accompany Swami to Kodaikanal. And Swami ensured that in every trip, all the boys with the pocket money that Swami used to give us, the first and foremost thing that Swami used to tell is, go to the Tibetan shops and buy whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was the love and affection that he had towards those Tibetan people. See, coming from Tibet, carrying all their goods and making a livelihood, it's not a small thing.
Okay.
Only Swami will understand the pain and suffering of what these people undergo to eke out their livelihood.
Mm.
Right, Naragu?
Correct. Mm. And Swami also used to order, right? Don't bargain.
Yes, don't bargain. Don't bargain. That's
whatever they tell the price, pay it.
Pay it.
Yeah, very nice. In fact, I'm going on telling it again and again, Swami has said, "My life is His message." So let's talk about Swami's projects.
Yeah.
And the different compassionate acts of Swami in the field of medicine, the field of education, the field of drinking water.
Mm. Raghu, sometimes when I think of these projects, no, what I felt is, see, when Swami Himself is so compassionate, how compassionate Swami's mother should be.
Correct.
Okay. See, now that we are enjoying, we have studied in Swami's university, we have been using the privileges of taking treatment when we are not well in our super specialty hospitals, and day in and day out we are drinking the pure and pure water which Swami is giving us through the water project. And have we ever thought, why has this come and how has this come? See, this is all a result of Mother Isharamma Garu's love and compassion towards the entire humanity.
Yeah.
See, the three boons that she had asked to Swami were totally selfless, right?
Correct.
So when she asked Swami, Swami, people are not having water to drink. Can you please arrange for a small well to be dug?
Yeah.
In Puttaparthi. And Swami, in all His glory, when He gives a promise, He fulfills it, but not to the extent that the person thinks of, but to the extent that He thinks of, and which is for the use of the entire humanity.
Not only He quenches the thirst of people in Puttaparthi, but millions of people.
Millions of people.
In
the same way, the hospitals and the schools, the wishes of Mother Isharamma Garu were fulfilled like that. What do you say, Raghu?
Yeah, when Mother Isharamma asked for these wishes, it seems there was no proper hospital in Puttaparthi, and people had to go all the way to Bukkapatnam for any ailment or treatment.
Yes. Mm.
And even in Bukkapatnam, there was some small dispensary, which was built by British, and even that didn't take care of all the treatments.
Mm.
So Mother Isharamma prayed for a hospital, and Swami immediately constructed the general hospital, and then He went on to construct another general hospital in Whitefield, then super specialty hospitals, and also the mobile hospital. And wonder of wonders, all these are free of cost.
Yes, very much.
That's really amazing. In fact, nowhere in the world it is free of cost at this standard, state of the art technology.
Yes, state. The best of treatment at free of cost.
Correct. And then the third wish was about on the field of education. That time there was no proper school and children had to go all the way to Bukkapatnam for their studies. And there was no college nearby. So boys and girls, they had to stop their schooling, stop their studies after the schooling. So Mother Ishwarama prayed for a school in Puttaparthi. And as we all know, not only a school but a university has come up, and with four campuses, Prashant Nilayam, Brindavan, Muddenhalli for boys and Anantapur for girls. So these three were the pure wishes of Mother Ishwarama, for which she asked Swami. So now about hospital. In fact, I would like to share one small incident about the hospital, which is very profound.
Yes.
Swami gives a very profound message out of this. During the inauguration of Whitefield Super Speciality Hospital, it happened. So, at that time, one elderly devotee asked Swami, Swami, the Whitefield Super Speciality Hospital building is constructed in the shape of letter K. And he asked, Swami, does, since it's in Karnataka, does K stand for Karnataka? And Swami immediately said, no, no, K stands for Karuna, compassion. Isn't that profound?
Yes.
Like if you see human mind, our compassion is limited only for our near and dear ones, only for our family and friends.
Yes. Ours is a totally closed, closed sort of compassion.
Yeah.
It's very limited.
Correct. Swami is universal.
Yes.
And during the inauguration of Whitefield Super Speciality, sorry, Puttaparthi Super Speciality Hospital, not inauguration, a year before the inauguration, when Swami declared about the hospital, I would like to play that clip in which Swami declares about the hospital. And listening to this clip, it really shows how much passion Swami had for serving
the people.
Yeah, serving the people.
Yes.
So let's first listen to this small clip.
Sure.
It's just for a minute.
ఏ వైద్యాలయము నిర్మించినా ఏ విద్యాలయము నిర్మించినా వ్యాపారం 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 కానీ ఉచితంగా బీదలను చూచి కరుణించేటువంటి వ్యక్తి కనిపించటం లేదు కనుక పల్లెలు ఎందే ఇలాంటి పవిత్రమైన యొక్క శక్తిని అభివృద్ధి పరచాలని చెప్పిన సంకల్పించుకొని 100 కోట్ల వ్యయం చేత మన ప్రశాంత నియమందు ఒక విధమైన వైద్యాలయం స్థాపించడానికి ప్రయత్నించాము ఈ గుండె జబ్బు వస్తే కొన్ని లక్షలు వ్యయం చేసి అమెరికాలకు వెళుతున్నారు వారిని చూసేటువంటి వారెవరు పట్టణానికి వెళితే కలర్ నీళ్లైనా వాళ్ళ ముఖాలు కొట్టరు అలాంటి దురవస్థను గుర్తించి మనము ఇక్కడ ఒక పెద్ద వైద్యాలయాన్ని నిర్మించాము బైపాస్ సర్జరీ కానీ లేక కిడ్నీ మార్చడం కానీ లంగ్స్ ఆపరేషన్ చేయటం కానీ బ్రెయిన్ ఆపరేషన్ చేయటం కానీ అన్ని ఉచితంగానే ప్రారంభోత్సవం కూడా అప్పుడే నిర్ణయించుకున్నాం 91 నవంబర్ 22 ఇది ప్రారంభోత్సవం చేస్తాం
So that was a clip from Swami's 65th birthday where Swami declared about constructing a super speciality hospital in Puttaparthi. Let me just translate what Swami said, and I quote, whatever educational institutions and hospitals are started anywhere, it's all business, business and business. But it is difficult to find a person who melts by looking at the poor. Thus, having resolved that such pure intentions should be developed in the villages itself, we have made an effort to start a hospital costing 100 crores in Prashanthi Nilayam. Heart patients spent a few lakhs to go to America for treatment. What is the fate of the poor people? Who is to look after them? If they go to the cities, people just don't care for them. Realizing these problems, we have decided to have a big hospital here. Whether it is a bypass surgery, kidney transplantation, lung operation, brain operation, all treatment will be done totally free of charge.
Yes.
We have already fixed the inauguration date for this hospital. 1991, November 22nd, this hospital will be inaugurated. Unquote. Oh, really great.
Yes.
In fact, the announcement was dramatic and the applause that followed was also very thunderous.
Mm.
But at that time, people just listened to it and forgot it and many didn't believe itself.
Mm.
There were many doubting Thomas. How is a hospital? How can
there be a hospital? Come up in this village.
Yeah, in the rural village.
Mm.
But it has materialized. The Compassionate Act of Swami has materialized and now it's been 25 years since it's going strong.
Mm. And in the same way, Raghu, when Swami started the annual event of Gram Seva, which happens every year during the Dasara celebrations.
Correct.
And the reason that Swami had given for starting the Gram Seva was like, it totally changed our perspective towards life actually.
Mm.
When Swami just came across, Swami had the habit of reading newspaper every day before he came for darshan. And on that particular day when Swami was with some students, he had revealed why actually he is going to start Gram Seva.
In the year 2000.
And Swami came across a small article which not even hit the eye of a normal reader of a newspaper. Mm. That caught Swami's eye, which mentioned that a mother unable to feed her children food had given poison to both her children and she herself consumed the poison and had given up her life.
Mm.
And seeing that particular article, Swami was so moved and he was like taken aback in this. And then the answer that Swami gave when the boys asked, this is the article which was so moving, and he said that Bharat is a Punya Bhumi, a Tyaga Bhumi, a Karma Bhumi, a Yoga Bhumi and not a Bhoga Bhumi. And then he went on to tell, have the people in this land become so merciless and so cruel that they allowed a mother and her children to die so helplessly. So have they become so merciless? Mm. Swami was asking all the boys. And he was like very, very emotional and almost about to shed tears. And at that instant itself, Swami had decided to give succor to all these people around who are there in the villages. And thus began the Yajna of Gram Seva.
Yeah. In fact, till the year 2000, it used to be called Narayan Seva, where villages from around Parthi used to come to Puttaparthi, and take the prasadam. But
in the Hillview Stadium, it used to happen.
Yeah, huge Narayan Seva, Mahanarayan Seva.
Mahanarayan Seva.
And after 2000, the Sri Satya Sai Gram Seva, where boys go to the villages around Puttaparthi and go to the doorstep of each and every villager and give Swami's prasadam in the form of food packets and clothes. Right? Yeah.
Mm.
So it's continuing even now, growing very strong.
Yes.
So after Gram Seva, there are another very compassionate act of Swami which I would like to share is the Orissa Housing Project.
Mm.
There was a huge flood in Orissa. I don't remember exactly the year, in late 2000.
Mm.
So, and many people's houses and belongings just swept away in the water.
Mm.
And Swami immediately declared that he will construct 1,000 houses.
Mm.
And what Swami said was very profound, in Swami's own words. Swami said that the houses should be Shashwatam, that is permanent.
Mm.
And Swami also instructed the All India President of Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization that the houses should not be tilled houses, no wooden houses, sheds, sheets, nothing.
Mm.
It should be of concrete.
Mm.
And Swami declared 10 crores for this housing project.
Mm.
And Swami went to the extent of selling the Sri Satya Sai Airport in Puttaparthi and the hilltop bungalow in Kodaikanal.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
And see the eye for detail that Swami goes into. Swami tells that the plinth has to be higher of each and every house. Because next time a flood comes, the houses should not be affected by the entry of water and all that.
Correct.
And see the love of Swami, how much concern he has for people.
Mm.
And then as we all know, the drinking water project given to the city of Chennai. Swami had announced it during the inauguration, the anniversary celebration of the super specialty hospital there, right there in Whitefield. And that was like, nobody had any clue about what Swami was going to tell. Out of thin air, Swami had declared the project. And only God can have such compassion. See, he knew the thirst of the city people of Chennai. Mm. And he declared that we are going to give water to Chennai.
Yes. In fact, how it happened was like, Swami had gone to Chennai and he saw a huge queue.
Mm.
And he asked...
When was it ago?
Yeah, I think it was in late 90s. I'm not exactly sure of the date.
Mm.
And Swami saw a huge queue with ladies with pots of water pots with them.
Mm.
And Swami asked someone, what is the queue? And an elderly devotee said, Swami, they are waiting for water.
Mm.
And looking at that, Swami said, see, I won't come to Chennai again. I won't step into Chennai again unless I provide water for all these people.
Okay. So he had fulfilled his promise and... after giving water, Swami had gone to Chennai to attend the Atirudra
Mahayajna, which was held there in the year 2006 or 2007, I think. Mm. I'm not sure.
Mm.
So if we go on Ganesh, the compassionate acts of Swami, we can go on go on narrating, and it's an endless act, right, in the earthly sojourn of Swami in his human form for about 86 years.
Mm.
Swami has done many things.
Mm.
Now let's take few questions, general questions on compassion. Like, why doesn't the compassionate Lord answer all our prayers?
Mm.
What do you say about it? Like, we pray to the Lord. We have got many wishes.
Mm.
Man has got many wishes and he keeps praying.
Mm.
But all his wishes are not answered.
Mm. So sometimes a mother does what is good for the child. When a child asks for something, sometimes the mother does not give that. Because the mother is ready to give what the child needs.
Yeah.
Actually, that is what Swami always tells. I will give you what you need rather than what you ask for.
Mm, correct.
And if the thing that we ask for is what we need, Swami will surely give it to us. So that's what I think, Raghu.
If for example, if a child is sick and if doctor has said that child should not eat chocolates or anything, and if the child asks for chocolate, the mother will refuse surely.
Mm.
But the refusal is also an act of compassion of the mother.
Mm.
And another point is like the wish or the prayer that we have, the desire that we have and we ask to God should be for the good of all.
Yes.
Just like how Mother Ishwarama had the three wishes.
Mm.
So such wishes also God immediately answers. If it is a selfish desire, selfish prayer, then God postpones it or He may not answer it also.
He will not answer it.
Yeah, actually. Correct.
If it is for an individual benefit or an individual good, and if it is for a selfish reason, obviously Swami would not encourage that.
Correct.
So we all would like to have, or Swami always wanted us to have, selfless thoughts, selfless motives behind whatever we do. Then if we pray sincerely for that thing to happen, Swami will surely give all the support, and His grace will always be there when we are doing that particular act.
Now Ganesh, this compassion is, as we have already discussed,
we have been discussing, Raghu.
Yeah. And this point we have already discussed is that it's the true nature in man, right?
Of course.
Now, I've got a question. When it's a true nature in man, true nature of man, it is already in us.
Okay.
But why is today's man not so compassionate?
Oh, that's a very a difficult question to answer, but
yes,
we can try and trigger our thoughts on these lines. Because when we have seen Swami doing so much in all His love and compassion, and He has told us to be compassionate, of course we have to start thinking on how to be compassionate and what exactly is our true nature.
Mm.
Right? So, what we feel is, see, because of our selfishness, because of our greed, because of our ahankaram, the ego which Swami tells. People have become narrow-minded.
Correct.
People includes all of us. So, once we start expanding our vision, see, Swami tells, you know, very beautifully, God comes first, the people, others come next, and then I last.
Yeah.
And now the trend has become that I come first, others next, and then God last. See, when we have such a mindset, how can we ever think of being loving and compassionate? That is impossible. See, a beautiful example, Raghu. When a thorn, Swami tells this, no? A thorn comes and pricks your leg. Okay, what happens? The leg does not know that the thorn has pricked it. Immediately the eyes start shedding tears.
Yes.
Okay, automatically your hand goes and touches the leg and starts removing the thorn from the leg.
Correct. Because whole body feels
whole
the pain.
Whole body is in pain.
Yes.
So when we observe this small incident, we will understand that what Swami keeps telling, that man is a limb of society. Okay. Society is a limb of mankind. Mankind is a limb of nature. And nature is a limb of God. Ultimately, Swami tells, no, Sarva Jeeva Namaskaram Keshavam Pratigachati.
Yes.
And Sarva Jeeva Tiraskaram Keshavam Pratigachati. So, the entire creation is full of God. In us, in the beings that are there around us, God Himself is present.
Hmm.
So, when we feel the pain of the other person, automatically we start being compassionate. And Raghu, sometimes when Swami, what happened is, in one article that I came across our Radio Sai, on the relief operations that Swami had ordered to do during the cyclone in 1977 and in Andhra, and also during the Gujarat earthquake in 2001.
Hmm.
See, some people tell natural disasters happen. So why? Why, yeah. Why does that happen?
Hmm.
Means Swami tells, no, that see, God provides in all His compassion in through nature. Whatever man needs, there is in nature for enough.
Yeah, correct.
For man's needs.
Need.
Mm. But what is not there is, for each man's greed, there is not enough in the nature.
Mm.
So man, Swami beautifully tells the line, Nashreyo Niyamam Vina. Okay, if you cross your limits, automatically it will be harmful.
Mm.
So when we cross our limits and when we exploit nature, all these events occur, like earthquakes then
yeah.
hurricanes and all that. And what should we do when that happens? Some people think that, yeah, it is their fate. Okay, it is left to them. That is God's will. And Swami tells that's absolutely wrong thinking that man has.
Hmm.
When you see when you see people suffering, immediately respond to them. So that's what Swami did. Even during the cyclone during 1977 in Divisima, Andhra Pradesh, and also during the Gujarat earthquake 2001, Swami immediately responded to the problem that was at hand. And then He sent relief operations in a huge, huge measure to all those people who were suffering.
Yes.
See, when we start analyzing and thinking that the same God is there in us, who is also there in them.
Correct.
And if we start feeling the pain what others are feeling, obviously you will understand your true nature, Raghu.
Correct. Compassion.
What do you tell?
Yes, it's very true.
Mm.
In fact, even Mahatma Gandhiji quotes that there is enough resources for everybody's need, but not for even one person's greed.
Yes, very much. Very much.
So now, Ganesh, can we discuss on how to be compassionate?
It's a very difficult thing to discuss, because being the true nature, to be compassionate, it need not be a practice to, Swami tells in the first episode, in the last week's episode itself, we have discussed that Swami was telling, see, compassion, daya, is not something that can be got through abhyasa. Swami is telling that only through the transformation of the heart can you attain this feeling of compassion. And Raghu, what beautiful example can we get other than Swami telling us that prema and seva are the two things that will make us realize the divinity and our true nature. So how to be compassionate means respond to other people's problems, and even a pat on the shoulder of a person who is next to you, who is in distress. Encourage the person.
If we can't help someone, at least through our thought and words.
Pray for them.
Yeah, pray for them.
Pray for them.
Give a smile to them and greet them nicely.
Yes. And sometimes when we go on the road, we see a lot of people begging for alms. If we are not in a condition to give them anything, at least pray silently in your heart to God to arrange something for them to eat.
Correct. So, in fact, I would like to share a couple of incidents from Swami's devotee's life where they have tried to emulate these teachings of Swami of love and compassion to others. There's one devotee, Mr. Gene Massey, a Hollywood filmmaker, and it seems once when he was in Los Angeles, a person came to him and asked for money. He said, "Sir, I am very hungry. Please give me some money. I will go and have something. I'll eat something." Then Gene Massey, what he did was, he not only gave him money, but he went with him to a nearby restaurant.
Okay.
Sat next to him, ordered food, and they both ate together. And when this happened, the other person had tears in his eyes. And he started telling his story. He told, "Sir, just a couple of weeks back, I came out of jail. And I don't have any job right now. I'm looking for a job. And these weeks I've been begging for food. I've been begging people to give me money. And people just used to either ignore me, neglect me, or just throw some money at me. But you are the first person who not only gave me money, but ate with me. That's why I got tears in my eyes." So this is a way to show our compassion to others.
Yes.
Right?
It may be a small act what we are doing, but that makes a lot of difference in transforming people, Raghu.
Correct.
Because, see, at this juncture when technology and the world is moving so fast, we have to just stop and think what we have to do. Instead of going with the flow, a time to relax, a sort of deep thinking is necessary in what we are doing. Because if Swami beautifully tells, no, transformation starts at home.
Yes.
Okay. When we, when elders, parents start teaching compassionate acts to their children, means children's minds are so pure.
Yeah,
it's like
tender.
A very fertile soil. So as soon as you sow the seed, the seed starts sprouting.
Proper seed should be sowed.
Yes. The seed should be very proper and positive.
Yes.
So when a mother or a father acts in a compassionate way at home, giving something to people who ask for and helping the others who are in need, automatically that comes and makes an impression on the children's minds. Hearts.
Yeah.
So that will allow them to act when they are in a situation. So that is how we have to develop this sort of compassion.
In fact, even the Sri Satyasai Gram Seva, about which we spoke, is also a platform for the students of Swami's university, through which students go to the villages and see the condition of the villagers. As it is said, India lives in village. 70% of India is in village. So students, when they go and see the condition of the village, they become more sensitive to their condition. And when they graduate from Swami's university, after their graduation, they...
It's not only about the Gram Seva. Every act in our hostel that we undertake.
Correct.
Swami always focused on self-reliance. And our hostel was a platform for practicing all these kind of things.
Yes.
Because even when a boy is sick, all the roommates of him, of that boy, come together and they take turns and they serve that boy.
Yes.
Even a boy who is admitted in hospital, throughout the night some boy keeps taking care of the boy. In that way, you keep practicing.
Correct.
You blossom the compassion and the love that is there in your heart. So the best way to practice compassion is to understand your pain, understand other people's pain as your pain.
Mm.
So understand that same divinity is present in all. So feel the pain. That's the...
Okay, Ganesh. So before conclusion, I would like to add one very nice point.
Sure.
Once it seems John Hislop, one of Swami's devotees, great devotee, asked Swami, Swami, how to know that we are progressing spiritually?
Yeah.
Something like spiritual quotient, like IQ.
IQ.
It's SQ. Okay. Spiritual quotient. What is our spiritual quotient? How to know? Then Swami said, see, one of the ways to know how much you have progressed spiritually is, when you're going in a street, if you see someone suffering because of something, because of lack of food or food or water, how much pain, how much suffering will you feel by looking at others suffering? What is the level of suffering that you feel? That is the spiritual growth that you have in you. That's what Swami said. So it is one of the ways. Our compassionate acts to others is one of the ways to measure our spiritual growth.
Yeah. So daily, as soon as we get up, we should pray to the Lord to give us an opportunity to serve people in the day, because life itself is very, very precious, and the time when we are born, our time starts ticking. So every day we are losing one day.
Correct.
So we have to make each and every day of our life
every moment
purposeful and eventful. So for that, so understanding our true purpose, maybe through serving and being compassionate to all. So we should be thankful to God for giving this human birth and making us a part of His mission. Sai Ram.
So with this, Ganesh, just few concluding thoughts. So in the last segment and this segment, we have discussed the third flower which we have to offer it to the Lord, that is compassion. And in next week, we will be discussing on Kshama, forbearance.
Yes.
Which is the fourth flower.
Mm.
So, dear listeners, I hope you all benefited with this segment. Please send us your comments and feedback to listener@radiosai.org. In fact, you can also share your thoughts about on the topic of compassion. Please do it. It's our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. So Ganesh, let's offer this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet.
Yes.
And in a while from now, Brother Arvind and Brother Prem will join you all, dear listeners, for the next segment of today's Thursday Life, that is Afternoon Satsang. Meanwhile, let's listen to a beautiful song on compassion. Sai Ram.
Thank you. तेरा नाम चेहरे पे रंगे बहारे आती है, तुम ही से पाऊं खुशियां साई, ओ मुझ में भी तेरी खुशबू समाई है, ओ तेरे दर पे जो भी आया तुमने खुशियों से झोली भरी है, तेरे दर पे जो भी आया ओ मेरे साईं बाबा, खुशियों से तुमने सबकी झोली भरी है, खुशियों से तुमने सबकी झोली भरी है, झोली भरी है ओ बाबा झोली भरी है, खुशियों से तुमने सबकी झोली भरी है, खुशियों से तुमने सबकी झोली भरी है, नजरे उठी है तेरे जलवे में, तेरे इन कदमों में जन्नत बसी है,
तुझ में हमारी सांसें बसी है, तुझ में हमारी सांसें बसी है,
तेरे दर पे जो भी आया ओ मेरे साईं बाबा, खुशियों से तुमने सबकी झोली भरी है, खुशियों से तुमने सबकी झोली भरी है, मोहब्बत ने भर दी है दूरी दिलों की, साईं के बंदे अब हम हुए हैं, धनी सामान धनी दमगर गरनी धसा, मोहब्बत ने भर दी है दूरी दिलों की,
मोहब्बत ने भर दी है दूरी दिलों की,
दूरी दिलों की ओ बाबा दूरी दिलों की, मोहब्बत ने भर दी है दूरी दिलों की,
मोहब्बत ने भर दी है दूरी दिलों की,
आया है जब से ये प्यार तुम्हारा
तेरे लिए जीते और हम मिटे हैं,
तुझसे हमारी जिंदगी बनी है, तुझसे हमारी जिंदगी बनी है,
तेरे दर पे जो भी आया ओ मेरे साईं बाबा, खुशियों से तुमने सबकी झोली भरी है,
खुशियों से तुमने सबकी झोली भरी है। मेहताब ऐसा ही खुदा तू क्या है, तेरे ही रहमत से